At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Guys, welcome to Knife Talk. This is a weekly podcast for knife makers, knife enthusiasts, DIYers, anybody with any interest in knife making or just being, you know, creative people trying to execute their creativity. You know what I'm saying? I'm Jeff Fader from Fader Knives. I'm here with Craig Lockwood of Chop Knives. Mareko isn't here, so hopefully we can hold it together. Craig, how the fuck are you?
I'm good. It's good. It's a Sunday morning. Well, Sunday afternoon here, so it's all very relaxed, whereas normally we do this sort of on a Thursday night. So, yeah, I'm very relaxed. All good. It's been a bit of a strange week. It's flown by. Yeah, I mean, we spoke over a week ago now, and it seems like days, just days ago. But no, all good. I've been spent a lot of time in the woods this week, prepping stuff ready for winter here, firewood, that kind of stuff. And it's been good. I've been going to bed just really tired every night and muscles aching, and I don't know, it all feels good.
Look at you. Woodsman. I love Woodsman Lockwood in the Lockwoods.
Lockwood Woodward, yes.
So that sounds, I mean, yeah, the funny thing is like, we're recording now. For me, it's Sunday morning. It's 9 a.m.
Yeah.
When we first started Knife Talk, this was our time.
And it was. You do mornings. Yeah.
You can totally tell the difference of this podcast over the years based on the times that we record.
Yeah. Particularly with Mareko.
Oh, dude. This was our time, Sunday mornings. And I liked it because you can even hear in my voice. I've been up for a while, but it's still, I haven't like shaken the cobwebs loose and stuff like that. But the funny thing is in the beginning, Mareko, so I'm in 9 a.m. and for him, it would be 6 a.m. He was a wreck for years.
Yeah.
He was a different guy because he's just not a morning guy.
Yeah.
And then we kind of switched to evenings, and sometimes he's like shot out of a cannon. You know, it's like, yeah, it's like a different show.
The difference is incredible. Yeah, yeah.
So have you been doing any work or?
Not really. I haven't had much workshop time. When I say work, I mean not knife related, I suppose, but just been busy all week. As I said, just in the woods most days, getting stuff ready. It's been a bit of a race against time, really, because the bad weather has sort of, well, it's come today, really, and for the next week or so, it's not too good. So I just wanted to get things sorted before then. And it's good, yeah. I feel, like I said, achy and all good.
That means that you feel that working out achy shit is makes you feel like you're kind of still on the young side. No?
Not really? A bit of both.
Right.
It feels great at the time, but the next morning when you're stretching, you're trying to get out of bed, you feel fucking 100 years old, you know? But no, I'm good. It's been a good week. I can't really complain. We've got family coming over literally this afternoon. So all coming over for dinner around here. So yeah, it's all good. All good.
All right, look at you. Do you have to figure out how much wood you need for the winter, or is that a calculation that you do? Or
it's a rough calculation. Yes, yeah, and we're pretty much sorted. Yeah, we're done for the winter, and I've got trees ready for next year as well, so it's all good.
Oh,
all
look good. At you seasoning it up! Unbelievable.
Season up, it's got to be done. Got to be done.
Forget it. Not me. We got it. Who cares? Can't we talk about oil? I'm not gonna do that. Talk about oil heaters. Oh, Fader's on an oil heater. Whoa, big fancy guy. I'm like, trust me, it's nothing to write home about. This week, this has been a really kind of this coming week is really stressful for me because I've said it before, we've decided to invest in a new website. We have a web designer, a web strategist. We have a PR company. We have a photographer coming on Wednesday. So we've had to make all new stuff just for the website, including a new touch mark. We've decided to change the touch mark on our knives. And I'm psyched about it. It was a decision that was like, out of my hands isn't the right word, but it was, I made the decision that I don't have all the right answers. We need to grow, and you know, maybe there are better ways in which to grow. And as a group, with my business partner and then Allison and everybody, and it's just like and I'm also, the most important thing is to also listen to outside ideas. So we've changed we've gone over doing the new logo for the new knives, and
You're getting rid of the GF for you that you currently
The GF was the touch mark that I originally did for the forging. So the forging stuff, anything I forge will still have that GF. But for like the stock removal knives, it's going to be, and then our website, it's going to be Fader knives, and then there's going to be a feather underneath. And the feather, my last name is German for feather. And, that's always been something that's been part of, even the sculpture decisions I've made for years. I used to do all these bird sculptures, and my sisters were big bird people. And birds have always been like, part of it. And it just happened to be the name. So we had something simple, and it's going to look a little bit more, instead of getting these messages saying, it took me forever to find who you are because I saw your knife on so-and-so and such-and-such. And this is kind of, it feels more appropriate. So
yeah.
We were doing that, and then, everything costs. To do these decisions that are, in order to move forward, you have to make, decisions that are going to be something we have to invest in. So it's been a hustle to not only keep on track with sales and production and making sure our bills are paid, but now we have quite a huge investment in regards to coming up. So I'm like, I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
So this Wednesday we have a photographer coming up. And the funny thing is, with all these goddamn things, the PR department, the website, it's supposed to be, I'm giving money and that they're supposed to make my life easier. Everything has made my life exponentially harder. Like, I got to do more work. The more money I spend, the more work I have to do, which is annoying as hell.
Yeah.
But I had this really interesting event happened on Friday, and I thought it would be interesting to talk to you about because it has very similar undertones of what's going on in the knife making community, especially on social media.
Okay, yeah, go for it.
Friend of mine calls me up. He's a restaurateur. I know a number of restaurateurs in the neighborhood. He calls me up. He says, "Hey, listen, I'd like you to have dinner with me. Come to the restaurant. I'll meet you at 8:00." So I go down to the restaurant. I'm thinking, I have a nice dinner, whatever. And we go sit down, have a drink, and he's like a wreck. He's a fucking wreck. He's looking around. The restaurant's quiet. There's not a lot of people in there. He's looking around. He's looking at his phone. We're trying to have a conversation, and he's completely, he's not engaged at all in conversation. Very clearly, something's on his mind.
Yeah.
So we just start talking about how business is bad and how he's got to, he's just kind of freaking out about it to the point where he's just like, I had to dump my own money into the restaurant last month because it's just not working. And we were talking about it, and we were, I do look at his restaurant social media, and it's not great. And then his social media manager and PR manager came over, and he's a friend of mine too. And we were all talking about it and stuff like that. And I ended up, my friend, the restaurateur, just kind of like, he blamed economics. Mm-hmm. He blamed a lot of political decisions he made a lot of excuses for why the restaurant isn't. And then at one point he got up and left, and I was talking to the PR guy. The PR guy said, I said to him, "Well, how come the social media isn't, you're not really spending a lot of time on the social media?" He's like, "Well, the data points are really, we're not really seeing, the algorithm." He said, "The algorithm is affecting the restaurant business." I said, "The algorithm is affecting the restaurant business." I said, "For local stuff?" And I looked at his website, I looked at the Instagram page, and it was all pictures. And there were 3 likes, 4 likes, 11 likes. And it looked like, it was like the menu or an event. It looked like It looked like a poster board, or like a, you know, like a one of those boards that people put up their you know, you need help, you know, it, like a wanted board almost.
Yeah,
it didn't
look
it didn't look appetizing. It didn't look interesting. It was like, and the interesting thing is when we were talking about it, I was just like, how come you don't do any reels? He's like, well, you know, our data proves that, and I'm just like, well, yeah, but how can anybody show interest in what you're doing if you don't show that you make I don't even know you make food. If I look at your thumbnail, it's like, why can't you get people to do something, I got to do something delicious.
And it was interesting because,
and they gave me excuses and they gave me reasons why, well, you know, I just, and I'm just like, I feel, what was interesting was they were blaming Instagram. They were blaming social media. They were blaming the people around them. They were blaming the city. They were blaming anything that they could blame, except for the fact that they ordered a pizza of the special. It was a Baba Ganoush pizza. I turned to my friend and I'm like, "What the fuck are you doing? Who the fuck wants a Baba Ganoush pizza? Please, I'm telling you. I'm like, peace and love. I love you, but why the fuck would you make a Baba Ganoush pizza? Nobody ain't gonna eat this fucking shit. Yeah. But you gotta make great food, and you gotta show people that it's great, and you gotta figure out a way to get people to come." But what was interesting was I started to the PR guy and I were walking around. And I said, "Listen, I mean, I don't mean to be like, you know, social media Jesus here, but we could figure this out." He's like, "Well, you know, the time and energy." I'm like, "You think I spend a lot of time on my fucking reels? I spend like maximum 15 minutes, maximum, start to finish." And it was interesting because I'm still seeing so many people freaking out on Instagram, knife makers. And they're blaming Instagram, blaming the algorithm, being shadow banned. And I look, every time I have one of those, I look at their whole profile picture. I'm like, this is some boring shit. It's boring.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's also being all in as well, where that's all they've got. You know, and you said, like this guy said, oh, we wouldn't have the time to do that. But you said the restaurant's empty, you know, so get something done. But if they're relying on that totally, as in they're all in, that it's just all about Instagram, they're always going to struggle anyway, you know?
Well, I said to the PR guy, he's like, well, you know, there's a time and energy. I was like, well, my friend just dumped $10,000 into his business. I mean, what's the alternative? I mean, you can just do a fucking slow-mo of the pizza bubbling or something like that you're making, not the fucking Baba Ganoush pizza. You know, have a fucking steak coming off the grill. Make people interested in, oh, shit, they're doing that. I'm like, you got to do something, and whatever's not working, but you don't want to blame other things. But the fucking knife makers are the same way. Here's the funny thing is I get catalogs. We still get catalogs in the mail. And I'm just not interested sometimes. When a catalog shows up, it goes right in the recycling. Even if it's like something that may be interesting, I just don't get interested.
Yeah.
Even if it's a company that I like, I'm just like, you got to figure out a way to hook people, and that's just the way it is. But the funny thing is with this knife community, they're just like, oh, we're being throttled. Everybody is at the mercy of the algorithm or whatever, but people aren't taking any responsibility for their own decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, I just think everybody just relies on it too much, on social media too much. Most people I know are trying to spend far less time on social media anyway.
Right.
And I just think, don't put all those eggs in that one basket, you know, because they've got complete control. They can pull the rug at any point.
Right.
It just seems like a crazy thing to be doing, if you ask me.
I tell you another thing that's kind of in the same vein. We have some friends who, you know, Generation X, my generation kind of like got into social media at a later age than most. So when I got to college, the internet didn't exist. The internet didn't exist. Emails first started when I was a freshman, and it was like the VAX service. It was this inner college service. So when I got out of college, that's really when the internet took off. And then we kind of embraced social media at an older age. So social media started probably, 15, 17 years ago, 18 years ago, something like that, under 20 years ago?
Yeah, probably.
So I was 30. I was 30 when then I started to decide, all right, I'm going to embrace this situation. So we have a friend, acquaintance, college acquaintance, became influencer in the COVID department. Like that when COVID started, there's a lot of political stuff, and this person became like an influencer in regards to politics and all this shit. Mm. However, she made the decision to kind of post these things that were A, divisive, B, controversial, and yeah. C, just a little oversharing on your own personal life, yeah. to the point where commenting on her marriage, and this guy's, you know, I don't want to get too far into it, but I mean, like, saying things that are troubling. Mm. So what happened was, is she would write things and do things and say things that were, it seemed unconsciously that you're looking for someone to say something. So some of her followers who don't give a fuck started saying stuff like, it seems like you have a problem. It seems like, I've been following you for a long time, and it seems as though maybe you need some help. And they're making these, you know, psychological profiles on this person who, A, in my opinion, it was like, just like, hey, bro, you're sharing too much. But at the same time, it's like, what can you do? So after, like, saying some pretty inflammatory things and people saying really, you know, very difficult things for this person to read, yeah. this person, instead of saying, taking responsibility, they said, I hate social media. I'm deactivating my account. I need less of this in my life. Mm. And I was, all I could think of was, yeah, but it wasn't social media. It was a reflection on the stuff that you were putting out there.
Yeah. Yeah. The content you're putting out there. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's madness, because it's like we're reflecting what we are, who we are. And it's the reflection. Maybe we don't like the reflection that we see. So we blame the system. And yeah. it's like, at some point, we got to be a little bit more flexible in regards to what we're looking for in social media and how we're going to react.
Yeah, and what outcomes you want from it as well. Because, I mean, you speak to, you know, kids these days. They're like, yeah, I'd love to be an influencer and all this. It's like, well, but what do you mean? What's the outcome of that? You're going to be like an influencer, just like hawking shit around, and basically you just get a garage full of shit that you'd never really want anyway.
Right.
You've got no money.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't understand I don't understand what an influencer is now, because how they would pay bills, how they would do all these things, because it's like, where's the money? I can't see where the money leads to, you know?
That's exactly right. I know a guy who is a big influencer in the food business. He does these elaborate videos. I know he spends a ton of time on these videos, these cooking yeah. videos. And his bennies are, he gets to fly to Chicago and he does a collaboration with other food influencers, and they're eating a steak. Meanwhile, he's turning to me and he goes, I can't pay my bills. They
yeah,
flew me
exactly.
to fucking
yeah.
Chicago.
Yeah.
I'm eating this beautiful steak, but like in my mind, when you look in my eyes while I'm eating the steak, I'm thinking, how the fuck am I going to pay my rent? You yeah. know, it's like, this steak ain't going to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't see where the money is. And I think people have this naive sort of ambition of wanting to be, whether an influencer or whatever it may be, but, you know, social media being all in. And I just think, oof. Surely you use that to promote something that you're doing, not just to promote yourself in this sort of shallow way. It's bizarre. I find it increasingly more bizarre over the last sort of 12 months or so.
But there are workarounds that are very good, and I've proved that recently. Mm-hmm. I had a video of mine go viral. I guess you'd call it viral, 800 and something thousand views.
Oh,
or something
wow.
like that.
Wow.
Yeah, it was, I had no, I did never, something like that never happened. And, you know, using the knives, you're using the logos in there. And it did
make. Is this your pizza on the grill?
Yeah,
that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because people, and it wasn't because the algorithm decided. It was basically people were interested in what I was doing, and it was interesting enough that they sent it around. Mm. So that's what my wife and my daughter and I do. If we see something that we like, or my wife says she's a recipe that she thinks I can do, or maybe we should try it, she'll forward it, she'll yeah. message it to me. And all those times that people do that, that's what propels these videos. It isn't, you know, the randomness of an algorithm. It's the fact that if you have enough people showing what you're doing, or
and it's useful. It's useful to someone. There's a value to other people. Yeah,
or it's
yeah.
interesting. You know, Ben Snor and who I send the most videos to goes my wife, my daughter, and then Ben Snor. He's number three. We send each other.
You send them more videos than the shit you send me.
Oh,
Jesus.
Dude, you get nothing. You get nothing. P.S. P.S. Mareko, nobody sends more than that. Mareko's unbelievable. Nobody sends more than Mareko. So, yeah. You know, regardless. But the funny thing is like, we send each other people usually, you know, hurting themselves. You know, like, knocking themselves in the head or kicking themselves in the balls. And that's what propels these things. It's got to be compelling enough, and you can't do, like, a fucking L.L. Bean catalog. Yeah, nobody cares. Nobody wants to see. I see these guys, and it's just like they're blaming social media, but it's just like you're just not compelling enough. You're not compelling enough, and you got to be a little more flexible. You got to be more, you got to figure it out. But it's hilarious because this restaurant guy, I was just like, bro, nobody gives a shit about your, you know, it looks like a bathroom stall, you know, with like graffiti on it. Nobody, it's not appetizing at all. Who's going to come down to this restaurant? You see nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's got to be tough. It's got to be tough, I think, particularly for people who, you know, who don't really understand, you know, social media and the web. You know, if you're in a restaurant, you know, your life is probably cooking, you know, but then having to do this other stuff. And, you know, even with the band, you know, we're talking about this at the moment. We're having to do this, like, social media stuff. And it's like, it's not what we want to be doing. Right. It's not our skill set. But it does need to be. If you want to reach people, that's what needs to be done.
It's the craziest part is, everything, humans hate change. And as we grow forward with technology and innovation, everything's changing so quickly, including the tastes of people. The way Amazon has changed shopping is destroying brick and mortar businesses. Yeah. We went to an event, to an Italian fest in a very nice area not too far from us. And all the big box stores were all closed. And it says coming soon, and it's a dollar store or a knick-knack store.
Yeah.
And it's like all these places that used to be filled, teeming with people trying on clothes or buying of this or buying of that, it's gone. So we got to figure out, we have to be aware that tastes are changing, the way people are activating in the world. They're getting DoorDash, they're getting all these different food service deliveries, they're buying things online, and then they just send it back. You know, we're having to figure out ways in which to operate in a small business. And personally, I think that people who are making personalized stuff, custom stuff that is interesting and innovative, and you are being sold, people want a piece of what you're doing. Yeah. I think that that's going to be the only way we're going to get away from any type of business that isn't AI related.
Mm. Yeah, stuff with a human touch to it. Yeah.
I would think that in the music business, I mean, I don't know how you guys, I'm saying you guys as in like you've been like in the business for 100 years. I don't know how they made the decision or how they felt going from records to tapes to CDs to now streaming, because it had to have destroyed the way that they listen to music has destroyed industries.
Yeah. I mean, I've been speaking to somebody this week, and, you know, back in the 90s, he was, you know, his band, they were big, they were huge in the UK. And, like, now he's just putting stuff out for free. He's like, there's no money in putting stuff out. The money is getting bums on seats. So the only way I can get people to pay to come and see me is by putting out stuff for free. And that, you know, that's the product which you're giving away. It's mad thing, you know. Every industry has changed, doesn't it?
Can you imagine?
Hugely within the last 10 years.
Can you imagine? Let's picture you 40, 50 years ago. And you say, you know what? This tape cassette thing is going to be big. I'm going to start a company just making the tape cassette cases. Yeah. And I'm going to buy machines, and we're going to build all the tape cassettes. And you're going to be all the plastic tape cassettes that they put the slide in the card, and they put the tape. And they're going to be universal. And every company is going to want to buy the tape cassettes that I make. And this is going to be generational wealth. And all of a sudden, they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, we're not doing tape cassette cases anymore.
Literally overnight. Just like, nope, CDs are out now.
Yeah. Same thing. And then it's just like, or the people who make the plastic cases for tape cassettes, or the people who make the CDs, it's just like industries just gone in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
And
I mean, you've got to learn to sort of roll with the punches and to evolve, and that takes a certain mindset, not just to sort of see into the future. I mean, I'm not talking about that, but I just think, see when something's coming down the pipe, or see when you've got struggles or difficulties, how are we going to sort of overcome that, you know? And it's just any small business is You need to be doing that.
You know who made it in the long game?
Who's that?
Cardboard companies.
Ah,
people
yes.
who make cardboard boxes are just like, they're like sitting on their top of their gold and they're watching their monocle and they're like, and they're like, yep, I'm in the cardboard business. They used to laugh at me, but fuck you.
I got the Amazon font
or the Amazon tape guy. The guy who decided to make the Amazon tape was like, ah, oh, Jesus Christ. Are we going to buy an island now? The fucking cardboard company's just like, yeah, get into cardboard, kid. I'm like, fucking cardboard, how boring. I'm like, all right, you're gonna know.
Money's in packing.
Yeah.
Right, let's do some questions before we do.
Knife Talk is sponsored by Evenheat, the manufacturers of the finest heat treat ovens available. To find your next oven, go to evenheat-kiln.com.
Do it now. Okay, what have we got?
Well, guys, if you want to submit for the podcast, and I know I've gotten a number of messages who are people who are sick of people who are sick of social media have said, I'm giving up social media. Is there another way that we can send our questions in? And I'm just like, I ain't starting an email service for fucking Knife Talk. I need it one. We need our DMs in one place. Otherwise, it ain't going to happen. So go to Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. Sorry, guys. And you can DM us. You can send us your messages. You can give us feedback. You can come up with bit ideas. You can tell us stories. That's the way to go. And this one is first from our friend, Fox River Blades. Fox River Blades says, hey, guys. I know you're big supporters of newsletters as a method of selling knives. Could you go over a bit of how to set one up? Is there a website that will help? Do you guys have formulas that you can plug the details in versus just writing them? I'm sure a lot of listeners would appreciate more details on that. Thanks a ton. If you're not following Fox River Blades, he's been a listener of ours for a long time, and he was in an accident a number of years ago. He's paralyzed from the waist down, and he would listen to this while he's in the hospital. Now he's making it happen on his own. Fox River Blades is the guy. He is the fucking man. So, yeah. What do you think about how do you set up a newsletter? What are the points that you should do?
Well, let's start with what a newsletter is. So a newsletter is a way for people to they're interested in your service. You get their email address, and what you can do then, you can broadcast to them. So you're not waiting for them to come to you. You're broadcasting something to them. So technically, the way that would work is there'd be a web page. They'd go on and, you know, you say, if you're interested in my shit, please give me your email address. They give your email address. You then have a database of all those email addresses. So when you've got something to say, you can push that out. Now, there's plenty of services that you can do that with. Most people now, they're using some sort of web building service anyway for their website. So whether that be Squarespace or Shopify or wherever it may be. And most of them have a newsletter system built in. So what that means is you can have an area of your website with a little box, people can put their email address in, and it'll store those email addresses for you. Second part of that then is making the email itself. So again, if you're using some sort of web building services like Squarespace or Shopify, they'll have something built in. You may need to up your plan slightly to give you that service, but they'll all offer that service. It may be a couple of dollars a month, wherever it may be. You can then, you know, drag and drop and design your newsletter. And then you can send out to those people in the database. You can be quite clever about that, which means you can actually split off those. So you've got this database of people who want to know about your shit, but you can split those off into different funnels. So for example, you can have a database of customers who have bought from you in the past. You could have a different list of maybe customers who haven't bought from you yet, but they've shown interest. Or you could have a new list of people who are completely out of the blue, who you've never met before. You know, so you can tailor the content to different lists. So if you don't have a website, as not using one of these services like Squarespace or Shopify or Wix or whatever, they all do a similar thing. You can just use an independent company, an independent service, something like MailChimp.
Yeah, that's what we use.
So you can go on, and that'll give you just one web page. You can send people to this web page, they'll sign up, and then they've got that back end system where you can then, you know, funnel off into different lists and make your email and, you know, design it lovely. Press send, and bam, bam, bang, it'll send out to however many people you've got on your list. So sounds quite technical, but it's pretty simple to use. They can get quite pricey if you're using a separate service, just such as MailChimp on its own, because then you may be paying a set amount per month. Whereas if you're using something like Squarespace, which I believe are using MailChimp in the background anyway,
yes,
they sort of roll that cost into your monthly cost anyway. But it's a really effective way because you're not waiting for people to come to you. Once you've captured their email address, you're broadcasting to them. So if you've got something to sell, you decide when you want people to know about that and you send it. And they can be quite effective. So you will get stats as well showing how many people have opened, how many people have clicked on links, what links they've clicked on within that email, so you can see what works over time. And I've seen people, putting some really sort of clever things in their email addresses, such as, mystery links, things to entertain you this week. And they'll put like three mystery links in and people will click them. Like, well, what is this going to entertain me? It doesn't necessarily take you to your product, but it gets people engaging with you and then looking forward to emails coming in. I think it's a really great way. You're not reliant upon another service such as Instagram or Facebook, hoping that they'll show their content to people. These are your customers. You can contact them directly and on a mass scale as well. I think mailing lists and newsletters are, really, really, really good systems. Keep them simple. Don't be one of those people who sends out a mailing list every day, because people will just unsubscribe. And once you unsubscribe, they're gone. They're not going to be coming back to you. That's a subscriber that you'll never, ever see again. So just be quite thoughtful what you put out. Give it some sort of use and make it useful for somebody. I mean, like Jeff will often put things like recipes and things like that in his. Make them of use. They're not just selling messages all the time because people will just turn off to them. Make them fun, make them useful, and people will see a value in them then. And they're more likely to open them, click on the links, and see what you've got.
A couple of things that we started to do when we first started with the email list is, last year we were doing them once a week and we realized that was too much. And we started to go to every other week and we're getting a little bit more, it's kind of better that way. The other thing is I was trying to be kind of mildly entertaining. I just got a great newsletter from Marlboro, Jesse Killian, Marlboro Handmade. He did a very funny thing. The caption says, "Oh crap, I forgot to post this one," or something like that. And it was just like self-deprecating. And it was self-deprecating. It was funny. It was to the point. The most important thing is you really do need a website, because then you can put hyperlinks directly.
You want people to link to your stuff.
You need.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
To be as frictionless as possible. The experience, people are very fickle. And I feel as though knife makers feel like, if they really hear from me that they're going to be on my, they're going to be waiting with bated breath for what I do, and they're going to be crawl through the mud in order to get that. That's not the case. People are so fickle. If something isn't easy to do, like when people say DM me for prices, I ain't doing that.
Yeah.
And then what?
Yeah.
Going to be an awkward conversation of like, yeah, it's $1,500. I'm like, $1,500? I don't have that kind of money. And then it's the whole thing's stupid. So if you have a website and then you put a hyperlink saying, we have hyperlinks that go directly to it. It's like when you're using Instagram and then your stories and you have link there, you press the link and it sends you directly to there to buy it now. The most important thing is it's got to be slightly compelling and it's got to be to the point, and that you have to make it as easy as possible. Don't fucking we have this high opinion of ourselves that people are going to jump through hoops for our shit. Trust me. I'm not like Neil Camamora where I post something up and stuff, everything goes. I still have a shit ton of knives that I'm not, that are not selling as well as I'd like them to. And is it because of me? Is it because of what I'm doing? Is it because people aren't that interested? Is it the fact that what we're doing doesn't really matter in the world? You know, that's the other thing. And you have to make it as frictionless as possible.
Yeah, two huge don'ts as well. If you are sending out newsletters, and I see this so often, like multiple times a week from different companies. So there are some newsletters that I really look forward to receiving because there's value in them. But the ones where there's maybe a spelling mistake or something in them, so they send out another one immediately. Oops, sorry about that, or something like that. And you just clog it up my inbox. Don't be one of those people who do that.
Oh.
And the other one is, if you haven't got anything to sell, that's fine. Make it useful. You know, make it a value still. But if you haven't got anything to sell, but you're putting down like a countdown, saying like, in 5 days' time, this will be available. And another day, you get in 4 days' time, this will be available. People do not give a shit. They want it then, you know? So let people know, and there's an action. They can take on that newsletter now, and you want the action to be. They're going to go and purchase something from you. So this whole sort of, you know, tickle on the way in, people don't want that. It's just no need for it.
You're not that interesting, is really what...
Exactly. So be thoughtful what you put out. Make it of value in some way, or make it frictionless so they can buy from you. And hopefully you can do both in one newsletter.
Funny and annoying thing that happened this week is we're sending a knife to this food writer, a famous food writer. And I wrote this whole thing. We made this whole thing. And I wrote the goddamn Magna Carta. The PR department wanted me to make the Magna Carta. So I wrote up the Magna Carta on how you make the goddamn knife. It took me forever. I had Allison proofread it. And the guy's name is two first names and another name. And she proofread it and changed some things. Okay, sounds good. Send it off. The PR department calls, says, you put the wrong name in the beginning. You put in the middle name, not the first name. You need to send another email. And I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. Jesus. You've got to be kidding me. So, yeah, you got to fix that. I'm like, oh, God. So I had to, like, do that whole thing of, like, I didn't, number one, it's my fault ultimately. Because obviously, subconsciously, I didn't care enough. But then I had to write this funny thing. It's like, oh, you know what? All the propane fumes in here, I must be losing brain cells. I know that your first name is so-and-so and such. And then I wrote a funny thing and I sent it off. And the PR department said, that's perfect. I'm like, no, that's not perfect. It wouldn't have fucking cared. And you get, now motherfuckers got two emails. One is like the Magna Carta. And then the other one is like, I'm too stupid to know your fucking first name.
Yeah. That's something to consider, actually, with newsletters as well. So quite often there'll be like a templated system where, you know, you could get it to say like, hello, and it'll drop their first name in, for example. So if you capture that data, which quite often when you capture somebody's email address, you'll ask for maybe name, sometimes a telephone number, and obviously you need their email address. But those bits of data can then be brought back into a newsletter. So you could say, for example, I want to send out a newsletter to 1,000 people, and it's going to say, dear, and in this space, I want you to put their first name, and then you put your content. But quite often, people just won't put their names in. They just want to put their email address, and they don't want to put any other data in. So you'll have this big gap then in your template. So it'll say, dear, big gap, then a comma, and you just think, so just be thoughtful about what you're sending out as well. I mean, personally, I don't put any sort of personal stuff in just because you don't know what people have entered into those things. You know if they just rip fuckface because they want to get to the email bit. Every time you send them an email, it'll say hello fuckface. You know. So just be a bit thoughtful that, you know,
dude,
these emails, they can be tailored per person they go to. They're not always going to be exactly the same. Just take a look at the template that you're using.
This day and age, you can use non-binary shit. You could do like Josh Scott where he says, hey, folks. You could do what I would like to do would be, hey, asshole. Asshole is non-binary. You could do, hey, bitches. That's non-binary. I think, hey, fuckface is perfectly acceptable, Fox River. Say, hey, fuckface, look at these knives. I'd open that shit up.
And you can be really, really clever with newsletters. You can use services like Drip and things like that. So you can sort of schedule, so people can be on their own sort of, I hate the word, like journey with you. So let's say they're interested in knife. You send them an email. You can automate it so in 2 weeks' time they'll receive a second email. If they buy from you, they'll then receive. You can have this whole journey, and it can get just like it can just get ridiculous. So yeah, just keep it really simple. Make sure it's got value, and you should be good.
And with that said, can we just make a point that people on social media or in emails, you don't have to say everything. Like, if you're behind, you don't have to make a public apology for things. You don't have to say, oh, it's been a hard time, and I can't get... You don't need to, guys, I tried to get this done, but you don't have to make a public apology. You don't have to tell everybody everything all the time. You know what I'm talking about? There'll be people be like, oh, I haven't been on social... I haven't posted in a week. I'm really, really sorry.
Yeah, just nobody gives a fuck. Sorry if you've missed. I really apologize. I haven't been active on social media recently.
Where's John? Where's John been? I'm worried about him. I'm really sorry. I'm supposed to have these things done, and nobody wants your public apology. Just get on with your life.
Yeah, crazy. Right, before we do the next one,
Combat Abrasives makes the world's best abrasive belts for knife makers. Available in any size at unbelievable prices. Go take a look at combatabrasives.com and get 15% off with promo code KNIFETALK15.
15%.
Do it now.
15%. Get on it. So that was Brian. So how is things going with Brian and the run-in?
I have no idea, but I ran yesterday, and I felt pretty fucking good. Like, my biggest problem with running is it takes me a long time to warm up. So the first 2 miles for me are always like, the first miles is always, I feel like shit.
And Jeff, I don't need to hear this, right? You need to beat those guys. None of this stuff, positive mental attitude. You need to beat these guys.
Here's what I'll tell you. My fear is I'm going to have to make sure that I'm afraid that people aren't going to run, and then they're going to walk, and then they're going to get lost. We don't have like cones and shit. We don't have like running stations. So I'm like, am I going to be the guy at the end making sure everybody, and I'm going to be walking the whole time?
Counting them in.
I'm kind of concerned. Like all of a sudden, just like, have you seen Bill's Forge? I think we lost him back by the fucking trailhead. All of a sudden, it's just like, I got to call Austin at Maker Camp saying, hey, listen, can we have a search party for a very fat, bearded guy who thought he was going to run, and then he got really kind of like winded, and then he fell off into a creek or something like that?
Oh, Bill, the one in the kilt, beard. I know the one.
Yeah, that's right. It's like, I need a search party. Can you give me a description? Yeah, he's wearing cargo. He's wearing a Carhartt pants and work boots.
Tattooed.
He had a long beard. He had a black hat on. He had a black T-shirt on. And I think he got hit by a truck, and he's over on a berm somewhere.
It's going to be like the M&M video. You're all dressed exactly the same.
Yeah.
It's like, which one?
That's right. It's going to be like the Robert Palmer video, except for not hot women.
Brilliant.
How great was that video, by the way, that Robert Palmer video?
Amazing video. Great video, yeah.
Simply Irresistible. It's going to be like that, except for fat, bearded people wearing black shirts. That would be the funniest remake of a video. You just simply irresistible with the maker community as the fucking hot woman.
Addicted to love.
Addicted to love. Yeah, that's right.
That's the one.
Very good.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Peace and love, guys. Just take a joke.
Okay, should we do an next one? Robert Pierce. Question, with the growing content restrictions on social media platforms, has the time come to bring back forums? Oh, fuck, those places. There are still forums, knife-making forums out there, which are very popular, but you get those fucking forum bosses on there, you know, these guys that are on there, and they make that their life, to comment on everybody's stuff and, you know, try to prove that they know more than anybody else. It's just never a good place. Never a good place. If you're a newcomer to something and you enter a forum, you're just like, oh, geez. You want to ask a basic question and you're just like belittled by people.
Oh, God.
Forums, I don't know. I've never, ever got on with a forum, really. We did try one once, actually, for Knife Talk. Yeah, quickly that turned into what all other forums turn into. And it's just not nice places, I don't think.
Well, before Knife Engineering by Dr. Larry Thomas came out, where he has a range of like how you heat treat stuff, I would look up I wouldn't go directly to forums. I would go look up how do you heat treat 440C, and then it would, you know, there'd be like a forum. And I'd go to the forum. A guy would ask, hey, I'm trying to... And then, one guy would say this. And the next, why would you do something so stupid as that? And it's like, that bubble looks like it seems like it's... He knows what he's talking about. And then the guy below him is like, you're an asshole. And it's just like, you never know what the fuck... My opinion is for business, if you're a certain level, like Mareko's a different situation than me. Mareko has collectors. Mareko has people following him. His work is very limited. He doesn't do the volume that I do. He's not aiming towards my customer base. His customers have a lot more money than mine do, or they have a lot more desire for his stuff. So he might do better in a forum. I'm not leaving social media because my customers are not leaving. My customers are still there. So all these guys who say, I'm leaving Instagram because this isn't... Your customers are fucking still there. It boggles my mind when I hear this stuff, because it's like, do you just want to talk to other knife makers? And that's a different situation. But if you're looking for Joe Schmo, who's interested in maybe buying a knife, why the fuck would they go to a forum if they're not first-time knife buyers? Now, most of my customers are first-time knife buyers.
Yeah.
So, but I don't... I mean, I'm not... I'm holding fast. I mean, I'm long gaming that shit, dude.
Yeah, that's a good. Yeah, that's. I hadn't thought of that actually. Yeah, I mean, bring back forums. I mean, for who? For other knife makers to talk to other knife makers. I'm not quite sure what Robert Pierce means by that one.
No, Robert's a dynamite guy. Great knife maker.
Oh, I'm sure.
Great
yeah.
listener. He supports this. He sends in submissions, which I definitely appreciate. It's just that like. There's definitely still this growing pain with these people who start businesses who've never been in business before, and they're not really understanding that we got to be flexible in terms of who our customers are and where we should be focusing our energy. Hey, when all these people saying, I'm leaving Instagram, fucking leave. Good. That's one less fucking guy I got to compete with. We're getting to the point now where we're training our competition. I'll be vague about it, but I know that I'm training my competition. We'll talk about that after the show. But you know, I know that we are training our competition, and the more people that leave, I mean, I'm not going to shed a tear about it.
Fair enough.
There you go.
Fair enough. Okay, Jeff, tell us all about your grinder.
Oh, baby, I got the Broadbeck Ironworks.
I
got the Broadbeck Ironworks 2x72 grinder. This thing is sick. It goes vertically, it goes horizontally. It is everything you're going to need in order to make your grinders. If you're removing material, this is the stuff for you. If you go to broadbeckironworks.com, put in the promo code KNIFETALK10, you get 10% off. Now, I know that they have a new... For the Quad State show, they're going to have a different... I don't have it in front of me, but they're going to have different sales that Knife Talk 10 will not be used for. You definitely need to go to Broadbeck Ironworks on Instagram, where they have all the deals possible to get you the best deal you can for your grinder. If you want to go horizontal, you want to go vertical, you want to get their disc grinder, you want to get this, that, and the other thing. They're also going to have their... they're going to be at Maker Camp with all their stuff, including their power hammer. They're taking pre-orders for the power hammer. It's made in the United States. It's a dynamite little power hammer, and I'm looking forward to seeing them. So go to BroadbeckIronworks.com. Go to Broadbeck Ironworks on Instagram, where you can kind of see all the deals that they're doing. So there's definitely something for Quad State that Knife Talk 10 will not work with.
Cool.
We also have listener feedback, so just to let you know.
Okay, yeah, we'll do that. Well, just before we get to the next question, which is from Rick Elm, and he's talking about Maker's Mark on Damascus, I want to tell you about TexasFarrierSupply.com. They've got everything you need if you're a bladesmith, a knife maker, even a farrier. They even cater for those lot. They've got everything you need. TexasFirestSupply.com. And what's great is that they stock Indasa Rhino-Wet in every possible grade you could think of. And if you're not using Indasa Rhino-Wet for your hand sanding, you're a fool. Simple as that. So head on over to TexasFirestSupply.com. Use KnifeTalk10 and get 10% off the entire order. That includes your Rhino-Wet. So head on over to TexasFirestSupply.com. Rick Elm has sent us a question. This may have been covered already in the previous podcast, but what are your thoughts on putting your maker's mark on a knife which is created using a Damascus billet, which you didn't make? He says he's purchased Damascus billets and made knives using them, but he's always a bit uncomfortable putting a maker's mark on them due to the fact that he didn't make the actual billet. Anyway, is there an industry standard or should there be? Would love to hear your perspectives. Thanks for all the work you gentlemen keep putting into this podcast. And that's Rick Elm at DI Knives. Now, I know, Jeff, you use other people's Damascus. So how do you handle that?
I do. It's a great question because over time, people aren't going to really, you know, there's a lot of information that's not going to be, you know, you're not going to know. I do put maker's marks on certain Damascus. The only reason why I don't put my maker's mark on the Baker Forge stuff is because there's something with the copper that makes it hard for me to kind of put an etch on there. It's something that happens and it just doesn't look good and stuff like that. But I do stamp when I have I get my Damascus from Bob Rankin, who's making Damascus again. Bob makes awesome stuff, and I get it from Bob. I do put my maker's mark on it, and I am just very clear with the customer that I didn't make it. We've had situations where people have asked if I made it, and I'm very clear. I'm very open about it. But, like, you know, the handle material, like the, when I use the G. Carter from G.L. Hansen & Sons, I didn't make that. And, you know, I make it very clear that what I do and what I don't do. Now, obviously, over time, people are going to think, well, they think that I forged everything. But at the same time, I'm just trying to be clear, and I don't really get horned up about that. In regards to industry standard, I mean, we're still the Wild West to a certain degree. I think the most important part is just to be honest and to say, you know, when somebody asks you, you don't make it seem as though you made it.
Yeah, and I think it's a selling point too. And you say, you know, I made this beautiful knife and I'm using, you know, Bob Rankin Damascus as an example. You know, when you're talking about it, when you're sort of describing it, when you're trying to sell, I think it's a selling point as well. But yeah, I think as long as people are clear about it, I don't think it's an issue. And yeah, in regards to industry standards, I mean, it's weird. We think we're an industry because this is what we all do and this is what we talk about on the show. And, you know, we know there is an industry around it. But for the average person, it's just a fucking knife. They don't. It's not an industry.
Dude,
it's just, you know.
Thank God you said that. It's just a fucking knife. Yeah. That should be the pressure. It should be the title.
It's just a fucking knife.
But you gotta do effing. It's just an effing knife, you know.
Effing knife.
But I mean,
yeah.
It's like, I mean, that's one thing that I think that is hilarious and probably goes back to the whole forums thing. Nobody knows who the fuck we are. There are certain superstars that like kind of make it out past, you know, like Neil Kamimura and, you know, guys like that. But, you know, it's like people don't really know much about any of it. So it's like, as long as you're honest and you say, like, when I get Damasteel, I'll knock my maker's mark into the Damasteel, no problem. And you know what?
Why would you use Damasteel, Jack?
Damasteel is the awesome made Swedish pattern welded stainless Damascus, and the stuff is.
Do you want to start again, Jeff?
Yeah, let me start again. Damasteel is awesome Swedish pattern welded stainless steel that's going to make your lives better. I believe that stainless Damascus is the future in custom knife making because people want the boom bang and they don't want to rust. They don't want the patina. So go to damasteel.se and you can see all the different products they have. You can put in the promo code knife. Is it knife talk 10 or knife talk?
I think it's just knife talk.
Put in knife talk, get 10% off. And we're going to still have the Dam of Steel Invitational that we're getting ready for in November. There may or may not be a couple of extra pieces of Dam of Steel for the build-along at MaritimeKnifeSupply.com. Maritime Knife Supply is the one-stop shop for all your belts, abrasives, steels, kilns, forging presses, heat treating ovens, all that stuff. And you can buy in the United States, you can buy in Canada. Lawrence Lake has made buying in Canada of American products and outsourced products very easy to get. So go to MaritimeKnifeSupply.com, get yourself a 10-pack of abrasive belts, you get 10% off, and probably you can get a couple more pieces of the Dam of Steel build-along for the steel. He is the only one who has it, and you go to damofsteel.se to see all the different products. There you go. Two for one.
Perfect. Right, we've got some listener feedback.
Yes, say. We do have some listener feedback. And the listener feedback, if you want to give yourself some listener feedback, you go to Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram, where you can send us your DM us your Instagram. This one comes from Rancher Blades. Rancher Blades, I have a scary forging accident to add to this week's show. I was doing a forging demo in front of 30 to 40 people with a bottle opener blank. This was a steel bottle opener blank. I was working too fast, and the bottle opener slipped out of my tongs and slapped me in the face. It looked like a dick and balls mark. It looked like a dick and balls mark on my cheek, pointing right at my mouth. Luckily, the burn mark went away. That is
please
the
tell me those photos.
That is the
please
tell me. That he sent a picture of what the blank looked like, and I was kind of didn't want to fucking ask, but I kind of want. I wish you. I don't know. Rancher Blades is the fucking man. I would give this listener feedback story. It goes in the pantheon of best listener feedback stories of all time. I fucking love it. Can you imagine?
Branded with a dick and ball forever.
That's like a jackass.
That's his new touch mark now.
Rancher Blades, I salute you. I'm putting you in. You're in the Hall of Fame. You're in the Knife Talk Podcast Listener Hall of Fame. That is a fucking awesome story. Hilarious. Brilliant. Pointing right at my mouth. can you imagine? I mean, I can't even make jokes because it's just too perfect a fucking story. There's no reason to tag along anything. You're the man, Rancher. A fucking good one. So if anybody else want to send in their hilarious accident stories.
Injuries.
That's the best one ever. Next one comes from Trail Edge Knives. I have an idea for a possible segment. People send photos of one knife, and you have to, quote, tough love critique it on the podcast. Sure, hype up other makers, but be totally honest with what can be improved. Perhaps you post the blades you review on your page, all of them in one post, so we can all take a look and actually see the blades that you're critiquing. It could be fun because you folks are such great bladesmiths / knife makers and would give some great tips. That would be more specific than a question. I had this idea. The one drawback is it's kind of hard to do on air. Thanks for a great podcast, Dylan Broke.
No,
I said, there's
I can't
no
see
way.
That happening. No. For a number of reasons. First of all, it wouldn't work because, you know, this isn't a visual podcast. And secondly, that would put us out there as some sort of experts. And, you know, we're certainly not. I know a lot about knife making from doing this show. I don't necessarily put it all into practice. So, you know, who am I to tell somebody what's good and what's bad? And I just think it would just make us complete dicks with it, let's face it.
The funny thing is like, I never want to make someone feel bad about what they're doing, and I never want to stomp on people's joy either. Yeah. Like, the whole judging thing doesn't interest me at all. From any aspect, like there are people who have looked at my, want to look at my work and that you want me to judge. I'm not interested in, I'm on my own journey. I think everybody should be thinking about it. Like, you're on your own journey to get better.
Yeah.
And you don't need people's opinions that you wouldn't take advice from. You don't take criticism from someone you wouldn't take advice from. You know, that's the other thing.
Perfect.
Like,
perfect,
yeah. I would never want to put myself in a position of making someone feel bad about the decisions that they're making based on the best information they have at the time. We need to start, like, looking at the things we make now as this is the best I can do with the information and what I know now. And we have to have a little better understanding of, look, experience makes things better. You look at your stuff, you look at other people's stuff, you figure out, oh, I like his. There was a guy that we got sent a video of, and he's talking about kitchen knives have to be stainless steel. And otherwise, you're going to get diarrhea.
Yeah.
You're going to get diarrhea from because if there's forged scale on the top of the knife, you can't sanitize it, and you're going to get a mild case of diarrhea or something like that. And it was like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know, it was like madness. And it was just like, I was like, what are you, you're blaming the knife for people getting diarrhea? What are you doing?
That's a different kind of stupid, because that's like not knowing you're stupid. There's some things you don't know, and that's fine. But when you're adamant you know something, that's bullshit. That's a different kind of stupid, you know.
I get asked every once in a while to judge my knives, and I always say, just keep going. I'm never going to be the guy to stomp on someone's joy. I'm never going to be the guy who says, oh, you shouldn't have done it this way. Those are all preferences, you know, and part of it is like, I make a lot of jokes, and a lot of it is to be mildly humorous on the fucking podcast. Because if this was just me droning on, I could be like the rest of these knife podcasts that suck. I mean, you want me to critique something? I'll critique other podcasts. I'd be happy to, because I understand that this is radio and that's what you do. All the other ones are fucking terrible. How's that for critiquing? None of you are funny. None of you have any interest, and you say the same goddamn things. Everybody wants to be Elon Musk Jr. Get the fuck out of here. Be funny. Be compelling. That's what I'll critique. I'll critique other podcasts. No, I'm just kidding. Obviously, I was just kidding.
Yeah. Okay, we've got 3 minutes left. Do we have any more listener feedback?
We do, but why don't we just... I think we ended on a good...
Should we call it a day?
Why don't we do a little fuck around for 3 minutes?
Fuck around. Right there.
3 minutes. That's how you do a podcast, fuck around, ladies and gentlemen.
So what's been going on? What are you listening to? What are you reading? What's those things?
Number one is I'm hoping to be at the Texas Farrier Supply for the Indasa Rhinoette thing, but I'm having a problem. Like, they wanted me to do a demo, and unfortunately, I can't do a demo there. Do we do a thing for the Texas Farrier Supply?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I have found a show, and I haven't found it. David put me on to a fucking awesome show, and I'm sure I'm late to the game, but doesn't matter. We're watching Slow Horses.
Oh, right, yes.
Have you seen it?
On Apple TV. It's like the detective thing, isn't it?
It's like the MI5 spies, but they're all like losers.
Yes. I think I saw one or two of the first season, like maybe a year or two back. I don't know why I didn't.
God damn, that show is good.
Is it good?
Oh my God. Well, we're in the middle of the first season, and Hillary and I are riveted, and I mean Gary Oldman is terrific. The characters, the hilarious part is, and I sent a message, the lead guy in Slow Horses looks just like Jordan Lamote, Bladesmith, Master Bladesmith, to the point where I cannot get my fucking head around the fact that that's not Jordan Lamote. So I even sent a message to Jordan last night saying, dude, I'm watching this fucking show, Slow Horses. It's awesome. And the lead character looks just like you. And I cannot get my head around it that it's not you out there. So.
Nice. I've been watching. We got one episode left of The Bear. It's weird. So that first season, which I think you said you've seen as well, hectic, fucking mental.
Right.
Like, it gives you a heart attack watching it. The second one, not really much happens. But this third season, it's a completely different vibe. It's just like the backstories of the characters. It's really slow. Some episodes, nothing happens. But it's all shot so beautifully, and the storytelling so beautifully. But it is like a different show. So we've got one episode left tonight, which we're going to watch tonight. So I'm looking forward to that. But really enjoyed it. Yeah, The Bear. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it.
We're getting ready to October sports season. So we're watching Yankee games and watching some football. And the interesting thing is I'm watching the Jets, and what's cool is, and back to the knife making community, is I'm watching this quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, who is an 40-year-old quarterback. He is so comfortable out there based off of his experience being excellence. I'm just finding myself really kind of like not idolizing, but I'm really using inspiration from these really, really, you know, well-experienced athletes. And it's, we got to see, we were at Yankee Stadium, we saw Aaron, I know you don't know anything about it, but we saw Aaron Judge hit a Grand Slam home run, and it was unbelievable. It was, like, historic, and, you know, we're just enjoying, I'm trying to ward away the fall. I hate the fall.
Yeah, I watched the boxing last night.
Who was it?
Anthony Joshua and Daniel Dubois. And it was absolutely mental.
Why?
So basically, in the very first round, Joshua took a big hit to the chin, and his legs just went. And you could see he was just jelly. But he lasted another five rounds.
Huh.
But it was like he was on ice skates. His legs were just like coming from under. He went down in every round.
Huh.
More than once. His legs were going out, and even when he was hitting, his legs were in such a way, he's like, he's going to knock himself over when he's punching out. It was crazy.
Did he lose?
He lost. Huh. He took a big, big shot in the fifth, and he was out for the, yeah, he was out for the count.
Wow.
It was an exciting fight to watch. It was really good. So, yeah, watch the highlights. It won't take long. Yeah, all good. But anyway, I need to go. It is now dinner time here, and... my stomach is rumbling.
Oh, baby.
So thank you all for listening, and wish to speak to you again next week. Bye for now.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.